Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.
Anyone know how to watch The Block in the States?
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble. I'm back with another of the season preview podcasts, and today we're going to be looking at the San Antonio Spurs. And to discuss the San Antonio Spurs, I am joined by the host of the Locked On Spurs podcast, Jeff Garcia. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey Josh, how's it going?
It's going well. It's good to have you back on. We spoke to you last year on this show, and I've been on your podcast a couple of times. So it's good to have you back on to talk all things Spurs and a slightly new look Spurs team, I guess, this season.
You got that right. It's almost a completely new revamped roster. Something new, something old. But I'm looking forward to exactly what Popovich and the rest of the coaching staff has set for the Spurs and the new season, which is about to tip off in a few short weeks.
Yeah, we're like six weeks away, I think, from opening up. Maybe seven. Getting close to that sort of a time frame. So we're really going to have these questions answered pretty soon. But I've got the questions for you now, for you to try and pontificate on what might actually happen. And what we're doing in these shows, Jeff, is looking at the players. Starting off by looking at the players who arrived at the team, new players for this season, how they're going to fit in. And the biggest name that arrived for the Spurs is the addition of Rudy Gay, coming off that Achilles tear that he suffered midway through last season. We know what Rudy Gay used to be, but at 30 years of age, coming off an Achilles tear, he joins this San Antonio Spurs team. Now, what sort of role are we anticipating for Gay this season? Because he's not going to be starting.
Yeah, I look at Rudy coming off that bench and doing well with the Spurs in the Spurs, and more specifically Popovich, guiding him in his recovery back to the court. If you look at a lot of the videos that he has posted of his recovery since the injury, he looks like he's on a mission. He looks like he's a beast. But there is a difference between getting ready, your body ready, and your Achilles heel healed up 100%. And then, of course, there's real game, live feel, be on the court, test that Achilles heel. We'll expect Popovich to watch him, watch his minutes, maybe still test them. The Spurs are very overcautious when it comes to injuries to their players. I recall a few years ago when Boris Diaw was on the team and he tweaked his ankle or leg years ago playing for Team France. And Popovich and the coaching staff, they sent out doctors over there and they sat him out longer than what Team France wanted to. So managed minutes will be on the menu for Rudy Gay. But eventually, they'll get ratcheted up. He'll get more minutes on the court and be the player that everybody who cheers for the Silver and Black hopes he can be, that we saw before the injury in Sacramento. And, of course, this is Memphis days. He will be spotting Kawhi Leonard, and that is a nice 1-2 combo for the Spurs to have. You have a guy like Kawhi Leonard, who's an MVP candidate. And I don't think we need to dive into exactly what he brings to the court. But Rudy Gay also similarly brings almost the same type of offense and defense if he's healthy. Now, granted, he's not on the level of Kawhi Leonard, but he is one of the underrated offensive players throughout his career. Always felt that he should have been recognized for a lot more what he can do on that end of the court. And, of course, defensively, he plays well. During his heyday with Memphis and when young Kawhi Leonard was still learning the ways of the NBA, Rudy Gay took it to him. And there's video out there. You can go look at Rudy Gay just simply dominating a young Kawhi Leonard. That was then. This is now. Kawhi has matured. and probably a whole story, but a different story. I'm sorry. However, I like this. I think the Spurs got themselves a great deal financially. I mean, Rudy Gay came on the cheap. He's looking as this coming season as a way to get back to what he was before at the All-Star level. And he's willing to start practically almost all over again and prove himself. This is pretty much a contract year if you really think about it for him. He signed on a one-year deal, I believe. And he has to prove himself, and he's willing and able, and he's up for the challenge. And I think Spurs fans, the coaching staff, the rest of the NBA, the loaded West are going to take notice of exactly that Rudy Gay is back. But don't expect that right out the gate. Expect the Spurs to still be overly cautious with Rudy as he begins his new season in a new team and hopefully 100% Achilles heel that is ready to go.
Now, a couple of things. He's got a player option for next year. So essentially, yeah, it is a 1 year deal. Now you're a Spurs guy. You're watching the Spurs. You're talking about the Spurs. You're optimistic. I'm gonna pour some cold water on that, because players that come back at the age of 30, especially from an Achilles injury, they never come back the same.
It
just never happens. Brandon Jennings came back from an Achilles. He's playing in China now. Like he can't cut it in the NBA. And Brandon Jennings was probably never the level of player that Rudy Gay was. And Gay has always been underrated, especially in fantasy. He was just a consistent top 50 guy who'd score, he'd rebound, he'd pass, he'd get steals, he'd block shots, he would do everything, and was a rotisserie league star that you could always get late. The problem is, at the age of 30, he's going to be really limited early. He's going to miss some games, he's going to sit out rest days, he's going to have limited minutes. And the other thing is he's, even if he comes back 100% and miraculously just destroying all scientific evidence of recoveries from Achilles tendon injuries, his cap on what he can do is limited, because he's got Kawhi Leonard ahead of him. And if he's going to play the four, he's got LaMarcus Aldridge ahead of him. So he can't just say, well, you know what, guys, I'm fully ready to go. Let's go 35 minutes a night, because it's just not there. Those minutes just aren't there for him to do that every night. So he's going to be limited in that sense. Now, he's getting drafted at about pick 80 in ESPN and Yahoo leagues, and there's no way that I want anything to do with him at that point. It's too early for a guy that's going to struggle early on. He might take 3 months to actually get his groove back. I think his percentages will fall off a little bit. And the playing time upside just isn't there for Gay. Now, I'd really like him. He is a good player, and he has been a good player, but there's absolutely nothing in NBA history. It really tells us that he's going to be able to bounce back to being at the same level. And even if he does, his minutes and his ability to play that same role in Sacramento, it just isn't there in this team, unless the unfortunate happens and Kawhi goes down and Zaza Pachulia makes another appearance and does something. But otherwise, he's going to be a really solid backup that plays. He might play close to 30 a night. He might play 28 a night. He might play 27 when everything's said and done by the time we hit December, January. That might be what he does, but he's not playing 34. He's not playing 33, and he's not going to be the same player, I don't believe, that what he was. So I think that's a wasted pick if anyone's picking him there at pick 80. But in terms of what they got him for, to be a backup, it is absolutely fantastic for this team. If he can produce even 70% of what he was in Sacramento, it is a great deal for San Antonio. But it's not a great deal for fantasy people to be picking him at that spot. The other guys, Jeff, that they added, there's very little excitement, I believe, with these guys. Joffrey Laverne, who was horrendous in Chicago, didn't do much in OKC, didn't do much in Denver. He comes in and ostensibly replaces Dewayne Dedmon and David Lee at this point, which to me, it's not great. And I would think that he will be behind a guy like Davis Bertans, who will play a much larger role this season. Is that how you see it with Laverne? And how do you see him fitting? Because I just can't see him being an every night piece of the rotation.
No, I don't either. I think if anything, he is six fouls. He is somebody they can throw a body at, like a Zaza or a Millsap, who's now in the West. Just somebody that can clog the paint and get some rebounds and do a lot of the dirty work. Something you saw that from David Lee last season with San Antonio. Look, he's not a stretch four. He can't break open the paint with his hot shooting from long range. I'm gonna put on my Spurs colored glasses right now and say that if anything that could make him flourish in this system, it is that it is the Spurs system, a system that Team France uses and openly admits that they copy. So he has an idea of what the Spurs run. He's friends with Tony Parker. He's friends with Boris Diaw. He's playing right now with Nando DiColo. I cannot for the life of me, be thinking that he is not asking those guys, maybe not Parker because he's not with the team, but a DL or a DeColo, hey, what's it like to play in San Antonio? You know, Parker, I'm pretty sure he's spoken to him. So I think he has a little bit of a learning curve edge. And it's going to be quicker for him. But at the end of the day, he's just a role player, and his role player is going to be disrupt would-be penetrators to the rim, throw body on somebody, get some rebounds, and if he can knock down the occasional mid-range shot, which he can do, then great. That'd be awesome. But do not expect some crazy rebounding numbers left and right or block shots.
No, he's not blocking any shots.
Yeah, he ain't blocking any shots, anything. He's just doing the dirty work that the Spurs need. And let's face it, you lose a Dwayne Dedman, who was an athletic freak. David Lee, I opted out. He's looking for a better deal, yet hasn't found anything as we speak and record this show. So the Spurs had to dig deep. And why not go with somebody? And again, I'm putting my Spurs colored glasses on right now. Go with somebody who has some sort of international tie to the team. You know, that's what I'm, that's like the silver lining in all this, I believe. And look, if anybody can pull a gem deep in the barrel, it could be Popovich, and he, you know, Joffrey could explode and maybe up his, maybe his defensive numbers. Like, the Spurs preach defense. I think Popovich and the coaching staff will get a little bit more out of him on that end. But offensively, no. I mean, he cannot do what a Bertans could potentially do once he gets more minutes next season, or a LaMarcus Aldridge or a Pau Gasol. So, yeah, I mean, expect Joffrey LeVert simply to be a dirty work kind of guy and do the little things that the Spurs need to get that get a win or get a series win, getting a key rebound, tipping it out to the guards, setting a good solid pick. You know, maybe kind of also being a little bit of the enforcer type player that the Spurs need.
He's also got a pretty sexy beard, so that's one positive that, that Joffrey LeVert has.
I don't know. You got some competition there. I know. Josh.
I know he looks pretty good. He looks pretty
and he's a kickboxer. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. Now that's definitely, yeah. So we can see James Johnson versus Joffrey LeVert in like in some sort of martial arts battle.
That would be Tim Duncan.
Oh, Tim Duncan as well. That'd be interesting. I think that the moves that they've made with Lee and Dedman going and LeVert coming in, I think it's gonna mean we see more LaMarcus Aldridge at center. Now I know he's too precious to play center, he doesn't want to do it, but I think he's going to have to. I think he's going to have to play more minutes at center this season, and we see Leonard Gay Aldridge lineups at times this year. And Popovich has been a little bit hesitant to do that, but I think that with the personnel that's on this team, you'll see a little bit more of that from the Spurs this season. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. The other two guys they brought in, Brandon Paul and then Matt Costello, on a two-way deal. Brandon Paul's a shooting guard. Costello's a big. I don't think there's going to be much to see with those guys. They'll spend majority of their time in the G League. Obviously, with Costello on a two-way deal, he'll have to spend the majority of his time in the G League. And Paul's a guy that's that is a bit of a gunner, but yeah, I don't think we're seeing a huge amount out of him. But we've seen undrafted players on the Spurs develop into something. Jonathan Simmons, the latest
one. Neal. Yeah.
Gary Neal, another one. One of these guys who can play the guard position and Popovich can develop. So he's a name to watch just because of the Popovich I guess, track record of developing these guys. We've already talked about some of the guys that have left this team. Dedman to the Hawks, Lee unsigned, Joel Anthony's gone, and John Simmons has gone to the Magic. And in the draft, they brought in with the 28th pick, Derek White, the point guard out of Colorado, who had a couple of decent moments in Summer League, but I thought overall struggled. He's got some decent size to him, but he's just going to be sitting in that developmental role at the moment as the third point guard, and then later in the season as the fourth point guard. But do you think that he has any sort of shot, I guess, in the future of becoming a key rotational piece, or you just haven't been that impressed with what you've seen?
The jury is still out for me. I need to see more of him. And yes, he did show great flashes in the Summer League out in Vegas. And I like what I saw, but his learning curve is still needing to get on his learning curve. You know, he still needs to jump on that. You look at him, and yeah, I think what's going to stunt his development is the fact that he's going to be playing behind a Patty Mills, DeJounte Murray, Parker once he comes back. If anything, you look at Derek White and the Spurs are just looking for insurance, just insurance in case Parker is a little worse for wear and he doesn't come back in January. Or maybe DeJounte Murray just can't handle the role of the starting point guard, presumably that he's going to get the nod. And of course, Patty Mills, that's not really his position. He is off the bench guy. He likes to shoot and create offense. He can facilitate, but he's not known for being a facilitator. And then you also look at just the Spurs in general, and the especially Popovich. You know, he has a short leash on rookies, and he is likely to send Derek White and Blossom Game, I know you'll mention him in a bit, to the G League. And so expect that Austin team to have a phenomenal squad, but at the end of the day, Derek White is just playing behind some better players right now. And you also look at the fact they brought in recently London Perantes from the Summer League. He was playing with the Miami Heat team, another guard. So it looks like the Spurs are really focusing on the point guard position right now. I think they're trying to up the competition in training camp and in the preseason to push a guy like Murray. These are guys that are hungry. Derek White, Perantes, Brandon Paul, you know, these guards, they're going to come at Murray. And Murray he's going to be another microscope this coming season. So, yeah, I think Derek White has good upside, but that upside needs to show off more against some increased competition. And you're going to see that in the G League and in the preseason, maybe the occasional call-up game against a low team on the totem pole in the NBA, and to show exactly what he can do against real NBA competition. But as of right now, I think the jury is still out.
He's a guy that does have good fantasy statistical translations. Mm-hmm. Like he can get steals, his assists, his rebounds, all that sort of stuff's nice. So it'd be interesting to see how he does actually develop. And you touched on Jaron Blossom Game, who was a second round pick. Now, I don't believe that he is signed as of yet. The Spurs do have 15 guys signed plus the 1 2-way. So there is a 2-way spot available for Blossom Game.
Well, they did. The end of the day, the news is that he signed a G League contract. There's no two-way. There's no Spurs contract. So he's signed with the Austin team.
Yep.
Yeah, he's going to just be with Austin.
Yeah, so he won't. So they'll have to create an open roster spot for him this season if they are going to bring him up at any stage. But he will be playing there. They'll still have his draft rights. One thing you mentioned about the point guards, and I'll talk about that in a bit more. But in terms of Patty Mills not being really a distributor, what we saw last season when Parker went down is that some of that ball distribution role, it went into Kawhi Leonard's hands. So we know who Kawhi is. We know how good he is defensively. We know the sort of numbers he puts up. To me, he is the clear number 8 player for fantasy this year. I'm pretty locked in that he is just number 8, and that's where you grab him. But I think that if we're looking at upside, he could increase his scoring. He can get his steal numbers back up because they've dipped a little bit lately. His efficiency could go back up. But I think that there is definitely room for Kawhi to increase his assist numbers this year, as we saw him handling and initiating stuff a lot more last season. And if Murray's not cutting it, and you would think that Kawhi would get preference there anyway, and Mills, that's not his role with Tony Parker out, that Kawhi could actually become more of a ball handler and get his assist numbers up to career high levels this season.
And that's exactly what I think that Kawhi is going to do to improve on his game, is that becoming a facilitator. Now, look, Manu Ginobili came back. So, he often throughout his career has also been a de facto a point guard. So expect that as well. But as far as Kawhi and his distribution, that is the next step in his evolution. I think, look, teams are going to be keying off him some more often now, especially considering the MVP season he had last year. They're going to be double teaming him. They're going to be triple teaming him. He's going to have to figure out a way to perhaps break that double triple team down by, again, getting the ball out of his hands, facilitating, driving, looking for the open man, kicking it out, setting good picks and getting the pass off the pick and roll, then finding somebody who's open. Yeah, I think that's exactly his next level in his development. And to think that each season since he's been in the NBA, he's increased his offensive increase. I expect this season to actually see it either stay the same or maybe dip a bit, simply because teams are going to be looking at him now. They're going to be looking at him as the head of the snake, and let's cut that off. And what do the Spurs got? LaMarcus Aldridge is coming off a bad season. Adavis Bertans, a sophomore point guard, DeJounte Murray, Patty Mills, old man Manu Ginobili. I mean, look, everything begins and ends as of right now with Kawhi Leonard. So teams are going to be hungry for that and say, slow him down, get him under control, and you got a shot at beating the Spurs. So he's going to have to become a facilitator heading into next season.
I'm glad you agree with me with that. Let's talk actual point guards now. We'll start with Tony Parker, who has that torn quadricep muscle, and we're assuming, or I'm assuming, that he's going to be back at some point in January. But even when he comes back, we saw his minutes and his play decline last year anyway. And now to come back from an injury that's going to keep him out of action for 7 to 8 months, he's not going to come back in and just play 25 a night, because he probably wouldn't have even played 25 a night anyway, given the way that his minutes had started declining. So his role is going to be extremely limited this year if he actually even comes back on time. Like, he might not be back till February, and I think you'll see him playing more of a 20-minute role for the majority of the regular season. Do you think that's a more accurate representation of what Parker's in store for this year?
Ooh, I think Parker might be in store for less minutes on the court, as Popovich may preserve him for the postseason.
Yep.
They're not going to rush him back. He says in interviews overseas in France and even in Argentina that he's back to running. He's on two legs. He's not on crutches. He's been filmed at basketball camps, you know, playing with kids out in France, and he's dribbling the ball. He's not making any crazy pivots or playing full speed, but he looks like his recovery is well underway and he's well on the path of coming back, but he's not going to be the same Tony Parker, I believe, once he is up and ready to go. Popovich is simply going to play him maybe sparingly in the remaining months of the regular season. And then in that last month, say after the rodeo road trip, they're going to start increasing his minutes and really test out that injury and see if it really has come to fruition and healed up. Look, he's not going to get any preseason play. He's not going to be in training camp. And if he is in training camp, it's going to be light workouts and light scrimmages and maybe half court or one-on-one something. But he's not going to get game time simulation until the Spurs are ready for him to throw him out on the AT&T Center and see how he's doing. It's almost sad. I mean, I look at him and I'm like, this is not how it should end. This is not, if this is going to be it for him, and if he's not going to be the Tony Parker of old, you know, it hurts, because he was one of the original big three. He was part of those Spurs championship run. And, you know, just to see him go down the way he did last year in the postseason, and, you know, speculation that it was career ending. And that's scary. That was so scary for me and for Spurs fans to see that happen to him. And think about it. He's the youngest of the original big three. And yet the oldest is still fighting away and still playing. I mean, it's amazing. But Parker, I don't expect him to be Parker of old once he comes back. I'm expecting him. I think he's pretty I don't know, and I don't know him. I don't have his cell phone number. I can't call him or text him, but I think he's pretty much resigned to the fact that, you know what, he's now going to be a backup point guard. And, you know, even after this coming season and the few seasons ahead, that he may not be the starter anymore, that's going to go to Murray, or if they change something up and make some crazy trade to get a quality point guard like they whiffed on Chris Paul in the offseason. But Parker is now going to become the mentor. He's changing his role. He's now going to be Mr. Miyagi. He's now going to be trying to teach the young kids, Murray, White, what it is to run this Spurs team. And hey, what better player to have on your side if you're an up-and-coming point guard like Murray than Tony Parker, a guy who's won titles. He's Hall of Fame bound. He's done it all on the NBA level, the international level, the FIBA level. He's been playing since he was 19 years old and even younger professionally. So he's a wealth of knowledge, and Murray's going to tap into that. Parker will have the occasional outburst where we think that old Tony Parker is back, but that's going to be few and far between. And Popovich is just really, really going to put the reins on him. He's not going to let him play 30, 40 minutes a game. 20 is good, like you mentioned, 18. But I don't see anything more than 25. I think that's going to be pushing it, especially for a guy coming off an injury like he did.
DeJounte Murray is probably going to start. this season, it doesn't mean that he's going to play starters minutes. I think that Mills is going to be the one pushing up to, you know, high 20s, low 30s in minutes, and Murray will play low 20s, unless something really changes. He struggled considerably, DeJounte Murray, in summer league, did not look great at all, and I don't think he's going to be an awesome fantasy option. Yeah, you can take a flyer with a last pick, and hopefully maybe he plays 26 a night, but he's going to be that guy that we've seen so many times from Popovich, that when Parker goes down, they just put in the third string point guard and let him start. And it used to be Corey Joseph, and now it's DeJounte Murray. And then let Mills come in as the backup and play the 28, 29 minutes. So I don't really love Murray as a pick. I think Mills is a good option. He's getting picked at pick 140. He's going to have that ability to increase his scoring. The assists, again, they're not awesome from him, but I think that he can increase on that a little bit this year, get some steals, and be a valuable late round sort of pick. But I don't really see much from Murray unless a huge amount changes in preseason for him to even push close to upper 20s in minutes.
Yeah, look, the point guard position, in my opinion, is the weakest position for the Spurs heading into the next season. Parker, we know what happened to him. He's not going to be around for quite some time. You have a sophomore, DeJounte Murray, and there's, you know, the jury's still out on him. Especially coming off his performance in the summer league. It wasn't too thrilling or promising. Look, the Spurs maybe, you know, inadvertently or maybe overtly are acknowledging that the point guard position is an issue. They reportedly took a chance on Chris Paul, and, you know, apparently both sides were interested, and well, that fell through. Then there was a rumblings that Spurs and Kyrie Irving were linked, to, you know, during the Kyrie Irving wanting to leave Cleveland fiasco. Then there was rumblings of expert George Hill and the Spurs being linked, and him trying to make a return to where it all started for him. That fell through. So seemingly the Spurs are probably biting their fingernails right now, thinking, holy, you know what?
You can say a situation. You can say holy shit on this podcast. That's good.
Okay. Well, they're probably thinking, holy shit, we got to do something. And now you see them maybe trying to take a flyer on, like I mentioned, a London Perrantes, who they brought in. And, of course, they get Derek White. They're going to try to push Murray, and Mills is going to do what he can do. But you look at Mills, yeah, you brought him up about him rotating in quicker for Murray. I go back to the fact that he is not that facilitator. He's more of a microwave, if you will. He's like Vinny Johnson, a microwave. He needs to come off that man. He needs to create his offense. That's what the role he is. He's not the type to come in and, okay, set up, and he can do it, but it's not his strong point. But, and then we talked about Kawhi Leonard and running the point for a while, and that's good and all, and that's great, a point forward. I mean, it's not unheard of before in the NBA history, but, you know, I think you're taking away from Kawhi Leonard's you know, ability to really run more havoc, you know, playing off the ball and, you know, playing off a point guard, pick and rolls, you know, getting the pass. So this position is really, really, really in, you know, is a head scratcher for me in the sense, like, what are the Spurs going to do if Murray doesn't pan out?
Yeah,
what's going to happen?
They're in trouble.
You know?
If they're in trouble. They're in a lot of trouble. If Murray doesn't actually develop this year, like they are going to struggle, and that's going to be a key part of how they look for this season. They do, as you touched on earlier, they do have Manu, who is going to play his 19-minute role off the bench. He's going to distribute, and him playing alongside Patty Mills is awesome because Mills isn't that distributor, but Manu can be, and those two work together. So you're going to get more of the same from Ginobili, and he can be a fantasy asset as well because he can get three or four assists a game pretty easily in limited minutes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you there, but you know, I guess another kind of under the radar facilitator possibly is Kyle Anderson.
Yes, definitely. Anderson can handle the ball. He can play 2, 3, and 4, and he is a really interesting player to me. If Rudy Gay wasn't around, I'd be really on to Kyle Anderson being this big breakout guy, getting 25, 26 a night, handling the ball, getting steals, solid rebounder, hits some threes. Yeah, he's slow, but he does all these things really well. He's going to take on some of Jonathan Simmons' playing time, but I'm really interested to see Anderson in his fourth year. And again, with that lack of ball handling, I'm glad you mentioned him. I can see him, you know, taking a step forward. It's just going to require Popovich to trust him, which he has had issues with that in the past. But I thought his play down the end of the season was really encouraging from Kyle Anderson.
Yeah, I actually spent considerable time time with him and his camp during the offseason. And they've told me that one thing they worked with him in the offseason is more body weight, more becoming a stronger frame. And I got to see him play in a couple of summer leagues, not the Vegas or Orlando, but you know, those ones in New York and you see in California. I saw him play in New York City at the famed Dykeman Park. And right, my first impression when I saw him was like, he got bigger. Yep. He put on some muscle. So his frame, he's definitely gotten stronger. Again, I spoke to his camp. One thing they did tell me that they've been working on with him is repetition, repetitive, getting into that set, that shooting motion faster and quicker. I think they're trying to break away from the whole slow-mo reputation. And he did tell me that I'm sorry, not him, but his camp told me that they're also working on the point, him handling the ball a little better. And so it's looking good for Kyle Anderson, hopefully. I mean, I had him last year as the breakout. It didn't pan out. This year, I'm not slotting him into the breakout position quite yet. But I see him being relied upon a little bit more. And I think it's now or never for him in silver and black. Again, going back to his camp, they told me that they feel that he's been the forgotten spur since he's joined San Antonio. They want to correct that. They want to fix that. They want to put him into the forefront for the Spurs heading into next season. They were very positive with me. They liked what they saw as far as his offseason development. What I saw, at least physically, you know, he looks like he's improved in that department. Also, I think going back to the whole point guard position again, another guy that the Spurs, and this just tells you exactly how many guards they have on this roster, is Bryn Forbes.
Oh, yeah.
I spoke to him during last season's regular season and when he was playing in Austin quite a bit, and he told me that the Spurs were telling him that he needs to learn the point guard position more than being the shooter that we know he can be. So don't be surprised if you see the Spurs go to him a little bit often next season as far as running the team.
He didn't in Vegas, though, he basically played off the ball the entire time. I thought they would have given him more of a run, but they played Murray and White as, you know, strictly the point guards, mm-hmm. and Forbes just basically every time he got the ball, shot it and didn't run anything for anyone else at any stage during Utah and Vegas Summer League. So that was a little bit surprising to me that they didn't get him at least to try and run things, but mm-hmm. they could be forced into giving him that role. Anderson, back to Anderson, if Gay is not healthy, like if Gay just isn't ready to go at the start of the season and he's just nowhere near as good as what he was and he can't handle minutes, then that's going to give Anderson a huge opportunity there as well to push and become maybe a 20-minute-a-game guy, maybe 23, 24 minutes. But it's going to be dependent on what Gay does. But he is a really interesting guy to have a look at. The other big name on this team, Jeff, is LaMarcus Aldridge, who people have been...
Oh, yeah.
I know in San Antonio, in Fantasyland, they've been disappointed with Aldridge since he joined mm-hmm. the San Antonio Spurs. He was always going to take a hit in his scoring numbers, but he's like had decreases across the board. He used to be a 20 and 10 guy. Now we're talking like 16 and 7. The rebounding drops, the scoring dropped, the shot blocking's dropped. Everything seems to have dropped off for him, and he's not young anymore. We're talking about a guy that's over 30. So expecting mm-hmm. him to get all of that back, I don't think that's happening. I think if we're seeing anything, we're seeing it go the other way now from Aldridge. But can you see a situation where he does improve from last season, or is this just basically what we get from Aldridge now, aside from when he's complaining about not being happy?
I think this is what you're going to get. And I don't think this is a situation because he's on some dramatic decline or anything. I just simply think it's a combination of things. One, he's not the focal point of this team. It's Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
You know, he practically was that until the emergence of Damian Lillard in Portland. But yeah,
and that's part of why he left.
And that's part of why he left. Yeah, and that's exactly another reason why the rumors were rumbling again this offseason, why he wanted to leave and he wasn't happy in San Antonio. So you factor Kawhi Leonard being the established face of the team on both ends of the court. Okay, there's that. Okay, yeah, this is going to take a hit on LaMarcus Aldridge. But LaMarcus Aldridge is the two guy, at least of right now. And then you add in his age. He's getting up there. Then you, well, for NBA standards, you know, he's still a young guy, but for NBA standards, that's already hitting the, you know, over the hill. Then you throw in this third is that he, you look at LaMarcus and he's also has to split time with a guy like Pau Gasol. You know, Popovich loves the old guys. He's going to, you know, run, roll with Pau Gasol. And Pau Gasol, at least last season, hopefully he continue it, was knocking down 3-point shots as if they were layups for him. I mean, he was on a plus 50% clip at one point in the from beyond the arc last season. So then you got Pau Gasol, who just presents a different dimension than LaMarcus can. Okay, fine. So there's that. So you're looking at this mixture coming together, and yeah, you can understand why LaMarcus had a dip in production since joining San Antonio. But if you really dig deep, Josh, his numbers still weren't horrendous at all. They weren't. I mean, look, he scored in double figures in 67 of the games he played. He shot 41% from the 3-point line. He had 18 double-doubles last year. That was a team best for San Antonio. He led the team in blocks with 88. Okay, he averaged in the regular season 17 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. He shot 47%. And, of course, I mentioned what he shot from beyond the arc. And he shot 81% from the free throw line. So he was pretty reliable in about 32 minutes. I think what magnified everything was what happened when Kawhi went down. The moment Kawhi went down in the postseason, everybody just looked at LaMarcus. And I mean everybody looked at LaMarcus as, okay, it's your time to shine. You don't have that excuse anymore of, well, I'm playing behind a star player, you know, Kawhi Leonard, similar to what happened in Portland, Damian Lillard. They're looking at him like, hey, you don't have that anymore. You are now the man now. And that, I think that just wrecked everything. He didn't step up his points again. Yeah, they dipped from the regular season to the postseason, but not by much. He went from 17 in the regular season to close to 17, 16 and a half in the postseason. His rebounding's pretty much stayed the same, 7.4. His assists kind of stayed the same, 1.5. His blocks stayed about the same, 1. But again, they weren't those dominating LaMarcus Aldridge games that everyone saw from his time in Portland. And look, he probably had to adjust again to being the main guy. You know, when you have a big players that were bullying him in the paint, and you know, he's seemingly like getting pushed out as if like, hey, you know, like I'm bigger than Draymond Green, but yet I can't shoot over him or I can't bully him back. You know, then you got that whole, is he soft? What has happened to him? There were even Spurs fans were saying he's overweight, he's not in shape. It was just a perfect storm for him to look bad, and it happened. There were rumblings again, especially in the draft, that the Spurs were dangling him to move up in the draft. Of course, that spurred on, no pun intended, the rumors that he wanted out, the Spurs were done with him, that this experiment was over, it's not working out, but fast forward to today, he's still a silver and black. He's still under contract. And yeah, maybe no team wanted him because of that contract that he had. He's going to get paid a crazy amount of money next season. And then he has a player option for crazier money after next season. So they're just, it just, I think Spurs fans and NBA fans and LaMarcus Aldridge naysayers and what have you, you're going to have to accept the fact that he's going to be a Spur. I don't think they're going to trade him. I don't think any team will probably want him as the way he's playing right now. Yeah, you heard Phoenix was interested in getting him. There was reports were shot down immediately that Portland wanted him back. That didn't not going to happen. Yeah. So LaMarcus Aldridge is going to be a Spur. I think his the like I mentioned a little while ago, I think it was just a mixture of bad things coming together that worked against LaMarcus. Now you look at next season. I think Spurs fans and NBA fans should simply just do this. Expect this result we got last year. Just expect that. Yeah. Don't get your hopes up high, because then you're gonna get them dashed. So expect the Yeah.
I think that, yeah, what you said there is right. Look, you're just going to get the same Aldridge. I think it's going to be the same with a few other guys in this team. You're going to have the same Manu Ginobili. Like, just expect similar numbers. You're going to have the same Danny Green as last season. Mm-hmm. Expect the same. You're going to have the same Pau Gasol as last season. Like, all this stuff, I think we expect similar numbers from those guys. One guy whose numbers, I think, are going to take a big increase, and that is a guy we referenced earlier, and that's Davis Bertans, who is going to have to step into some of this role that was vacated by Lee and by Dedmon. He came in, shot 40% from three in his first season here. He's been a knockdown three-point shooter over in Europe. He can do more than just be a spot-up guy, though, and I think he's going to see his role increase significantly. He's going to be one of those players. And again, I talked about this on the Raptors podcast earlier with Sean Woodley talking about DeMar DeRozan. You don't want him for fantasy because he's a shooting guard who doesn't hit threes. That's what people would say. That doesn't matter because I can get power forwards that give me 1.5 to 2 threes a game. And Davis Bertans is going to be one of those guys. It's going to hit one, even if he only scores, you know, 10 points a game, like probably 6 of those are going to be from three-pointers. Like, he can do that. He can do some stuff defensively. He's not a complete stiff. He can block some shots. He can get some steals. But I guess that you're with me here, that his role is going to be increased pretty significantly this season.
Oh, yes. Davis Bertans, in the little time that we saw him in the regular season and a little bit in the postseason, and we're going to see a lot of him in that EuroBasket 2017, His time is now, and I think the Spurs are going to rely on him.
Yep. He's a regular part of the rotation now. He's a nightly part of it.
Yes. And would you look at Davis? Many people look at him and think he's a shooter. And, yeah, he has one sweet stroke. And every time he lets that go, it looks like it's going to go down at the end of the bucket and get 3 or 2 points on the scoreboard. But he's more than that. He is crazy athletic. I think he's being underrated for how athletic he is. He can get to the rim with ease and flush it down with authority. He can be a disruptor on the defensive end. He's very long. He has long arms.
He does.
Keep in mind this. He's been playing at a professional level overseas since he was a kid, very similar to what Tony Parker, when Parker was playing in 18, 19 years old overseas. He played again. It's men twice his age, twice his size, and he has something that intangible that I like, and that he is fiery and he's feisty. He's not afraid to get into a seasoned player's face, Greg Monroe of the Bucks. I've seen him get, and I'm not promoting this, but I've seen him get into an all-out brawl overseas and not back down from guys twice his size. I saw him get in the face and in the body of, remember this guy? I forgot his name. A big, big Greek guy. He played in the NBA. Started with an N. Nurtix or something like that. But it was just a big, burly guy, and he was trying to back him down and get in his face. You fast forward to this offseason, in the exhibition games leading up to EuroBasket, he was so upset. At an exhibition game where Team Latvia just destroyed Czech Republic 103-69. I mean, just it waxed them in an exhibition game. Yet afterwards, he was complaining about the refs and how they were not calling the calls right, and how this one particular ref needed to not even ref games anymore. I mean, he is all about winning, and that's what he is about. And of course, he did. And apologize for the comments he made towards the European refs, but nonetheless, he's ready. He's like that teapot or that on the stove that's been boiling for a while, and you see it bubbling and you see the teapot starting whistling. I think he is ready to shine. I still think you gotta have Spurs fans, NBA fans are gonna have to have a little patience with him still. I think he's still in that development stage as far as the NBA is concerned, but expect a spike in numbers, a spike in minutes, a spike in shooting percentages, a spike in getting in players' faces if they get into his face or his teammates' face. I like the kid. I've liked him since the Spurs got his rights and the Kawhi Leonard draft day trade with George Hill. I'm looking forward to great things for Davis Bertans.
Would you say that he is your breakout candidate for this team?
No, I still say I think I got DeJounte Murray.
Okay.
I think so much is riding on his shoulders, and I think this is the pressure that he likes.
Yeah.
And I think this is he's going to want to come out and shine and prove that he is the future of this San Antonio Spurs team. Look, we saw exactly the potential he could be last season. I don't know if you recall that winter game in Cleveland, overtime win for San Antonio, where he single-handedly brought back the Spurs to the tie and then led them in the OT win. I think he is just on a mission, and he's been putting it out there that how determined he is. And yeah, there's something to say about determination and all, but at the end of the day, you got to bring it on the court. The Spurs are banking. They're investing on him. To be that next point guard. And yes, say what you will, maybe his shooting stroke needs some work. His finishing needs some work, but the guy has a wicked first step. He can break down defenses easily. And I think it's something that's going to be in the microscope for me. And I think it should be, and I think maybe was missed last year, was his defense. I think he played lanes pretty well. He has a long wingspan. He has really natural instincts as a defensive disruptor. And I liked what I saw that. Look, he's 6'5" frame. He has a 6'9.5" wingspan. And he can get lanes and tangle them up, those passes, and deflect them and pick them off. So I think he's naturally, instinctively a defensive player. It's just what you saw in Austin last year, although he put up crazy numbers at the end of the day, 25 plus points per game, 30 plus points per game. But you look at how many shots he took, was an issue, made you scratch your head. He shot, I believe, what, 22.5% from the three-point line in 64 combined games, whether it be in San Antonio or in Austin. Not really good, but I think the Spurs are loading him up. I think they're giving him crash courses left and right on how to run the team. I think Tony Parker is in his ear. I think Patty Mills is going to be in his ear. I think Monta Ginobili is going to be in his ear. They're really riding high on him, and he has to do it, and I think you're going to see that heading into next season. So I have him penciled in as my breakout player, but a close second was also either Rudy Gay or Davis Bertans.
I think that Murray's got that chance here. Anderson could be that guy as well. There's Bertans, yeah. There's a couple of guys, but in terms of value fantasy picks on this team, I think Patty Mills probably leads it going where he's being drafted at pick 140. Yeah, Murray's definitely worth a fly with one of those last picks if he's around and you're looking for a point guard who's going to have that opportunity. But a lot of these other guys are just pretty solid where they are. As I said, Kawhi, he's ranked 8th. You pick him, mate. That's fine. Aldridge, Gasol, Green, all these guys are sort of right where they need to be. But as I touched on earlier, I think Rudy Gay is probably ranked a little bit too high. And Pau Gasol, I think he's right where he needs to be as well, right around that 100 mark. He's going to get his boards. He's going to shoot some threes, probably not at 56% again, but he'll get some threes, get some blocks. He'll just sort of do what he needs to do, and hopefully he has an increase in his free throw percentage, which dropped off significantly last season. One last thing before we go, Jeff, get all the guests to give us their thoughts on the over-unders that Vegas has released. The Spurs came out at 54.5. ESPN's Kevin Pelton projected the Spurs at 52.6. So do you go over-under on the 54.5 wins that Vegas has put out?
I'm going to go a little under. And here's why.
I will too.
Yeah, and here's why. This is pretty much a brand new team. I mean, it almost is a brand new team. There's a lot of doubt. And we mentioned about the point guard position. I think that's the biggest doubt right now. If you're a Spurs fan or NBA fan or a fantasy player looking at this team and who to pick, and you're looking at who's the point guard, what happens if it doesn't work out? We talked about that. There's Rudy Gay. You know, is he back? Is he? You know, you mentioned the history of players coming back from that type of injury. It's not that great. Kawhi Leonard. You know, it's practically could be a possible one man show again next season. LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, will he bounce back or will he just be the same LMA? And we think there's going to be that. They bring in brand new parts, Derek White, you know, who knows what kind of role he's going to have, Brent Forbes, Brandon Paul, Costello, Laverne, Rudy Gay. This is going to take time for this team to get primed and ready to go. You add the fact that the West just got insanely strong. You have, as I mentioned, Millsap coming over. You have Butler coming over to the West with Minnesota. Of course, the Warriors are the Warriors. You know, they're still the cream of the crop. you know, Chris Paul, you know, pairing up with James Harden. And the Spurs pretty much are a brand new team with players that didn't really make a big splash in the offseason, aside maybe from Rudy Gay. They whiffed on Chris Paul. Nothing came to fruition about Kyrie Irving and the Spurs' rumored interest in one another. They whiffed on George Hill, reportedly. They re-signed Pau Gasol to a three-year deal, you know, an older player. He still has something left in the tank. Great, but it's still not that wow factor, or as they've been saying this offseason, that arms race. Looks like instead of picking up a bazooka, they just bring on a bunch of firecrackers and maybe some watered-down ones. You have Monta Ginobili, who's back, which is great. It's awesome. It's amazing, but this is still not the Monta Ginobili of old. I'm a little worried about this team. I think they could – I could see them finishing third, you know, and overall, when it's all said and done, heading into postseason, yeah, with Houston and maybe the Warriors ahead of them. But I'm still, at the end of the day, it comes down to one man, and he's that grumpy old man on the court, on the sidelines, and that's Popovich. And if anybody can pull a rabbit out of his hat, it would be Popovich. But you look at this team overall, of course, you know, they lost arguably their second best player in the postseason, Tony Parker. You know, he's coming back later in the season. You know, how's that going to work out? 54.5 sounds reasonable, but I would slot them more 52, 53, something around there. It's going to take a while for this team to gel, to come together. Add the fact that the season started earlier this year, so it's going to be kind of a rapid, classes in session for Popovich and his coaching staff for the new players. It's just so many questions surrounding this team outside of Kawhi Leonard. So, yeah, I'd say a little under. I think that should do it.
Yeah, I would take the under on that as well. Jeff, let us know what's happening on Locked On Spurs and give us a plug and give us your Twitter handle. Sure. And all that sort of stuff.
Sure. If you want to discuss all things Spurs with me, email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. And of course, there is Locked On Spurs, as Josh mentioned. It's kind of quiet right now in the off season, so do my best to keep up with some news and notes. But once that regular season, preseason, training camp rolls around, or Locked On Spurs should be ramping up. There's so much going on right now where I write at News4SanAntonio.com and Fox29SanAntonio.com, where I am the lead Spurs beat writer for those two media outlets in San Antonio. We got it all covered, keeping you up to date with everything San Antonio in this the doldrums of August. And I'm pretty sure, Josh, you're feeling my pain about this month. There's really nothing going on now that Kyrie Irving in Boston is done. You know what else we're going to talk about? So much looking forward to this Spurs season. Fingers crossed. I think this team will be good, but will they be good enough to topple the Warriors or make it back to the NBA Finals and get that elusive sixth championship in franchise history? We shall see. So Locked On Spurs, go check it out.
Check out that. Check out this podcast, which you're already doing, but subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play, on TuneIn, on Stitcher, and on Spotify, and leave a review. A 5-star review would be awesome. And another reminder that Basketball Monster is open for the 2017-18 season, so get your subscriptions. We are ready to go, and you can check out all the projections and ask me questions about them, and we'll go through any queries you have about any of that stuff. Jeff, thank you for coming back on the show.
Thank you, Josh.
We are done here, everyone. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Patty Mills.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and oldnavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10, select styles only.